This is Kevin Day, founder of Fantasy Football Calculator. You are listening to the Sleeper Wire Podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am Professor Chris, your host for this evening, and with me my wonderful co-host Mike. How's it going, Mike?
Not too bad. How are we doing this evening?
Doing fantastic. I'm excited for tonight's show. We are doing a mock draft episode, and we're going to be doing that on Fantasy Football Calculator. So you've heard us talk about this before. Fantasy Football Calculator originally came about 2006, so it's older than I expected. It was really the first place that you could easily do mock drafts. At this point, it's grown into something that every fantasy football addict uses, and since 2012, Fantasy Football Calculator has been the average draft position, the ADP provider for USA Today. It's also used on Football Guys, Fantasy Football Today, and Fantasy Pros. And today we have a very special guest, Kevin Day, the founder of Fantasy Football Calculator himself. Kevin, welcome to the Sleeper Wire Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we are glad to have you on. So before we jump into doing a mock show, we're going to just talk a little bit about Fantasy Football Calculator.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the site started in 2006, and it was kind of the kind of thing where, I guess maybe I'm dating myself a little bit, but there used to be really slow drafts that were kind of email-based. So it was like the most fun thing in the world, but I just really wanted to build a live, real-time mock draft engine, so I just kind of did that, and it's kind of grown and grown and grown in popularity from there.
Yeah, it really has. I remember doing mock drafts, not after this past Super Bowl, but the one the previous year back in February, and I was mock drafting with just all computers. And this year, like, there's people in lobbies at all times of the day, which is pretty great to see.
Yeah, there's definitely, once the Super Bowl ends, there's only one thing to get started on, and that's the next season. So, yeah, there's plenty of people out there just doing drafts 24/7.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good tool because we're all on the Sleeperbot app, and I see a whole lot of people who are trying to join leagues as of right now, and even a couple people who are like, okay, so we did our draft, rate my team. And it's like, dude, you know it's May, right? Like, that's the preseason. The preseason hasn't happened yet. Do mock drafts. It gets you the same, almost the same sort of feeling, but it'll hold you over until August.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely always best to have your actual draft, the week or two before the season starts. But you can never practice enough.
No, certainly not. You got to do hundreds of mocks, and you'll be just fine.
Yep.
So, Mike, how many would you say you've done this off season so far?
Oh, man. At least 20. I know that I do it at least once a weekend just to kind of keep an eye on the ADP and see kind of where things are going. It way too much though. Like, for off season, I've done it way too many times, but I can't get enough of it. I love the draft. That's my favorite part of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kevin, you're passionate about startups and entrepreneurship, but a site that's as involved as Fantasy Football Calculator with so much functionality must have been a pretty big undertaking. Were there any moments during the creation process or the growth process that have been especially memorable? Aside from being on the Sleeper Wire show.
Of course, this is the pinnacle. But I guess, I could say a memorable low point and a memorable high point. The low points was, I can't remember exactly which summer, but maybe 2007, 2008. And, the site had just was like exploding, and I just had a hard time keeping the servers up at one point. So it was just a lot of late nights keeping things up, monitoring things. It was very stressful, but luckily I kind of used that experience to make everything more and more robust. So now it's much more easier to manage, but there were some really harrowing nights there in some of the early years when it kind of grew faster than I knew faster than I ever expected. So that was always pretty stressful because I just wanted to keep the mocks running because everyone would be pretty disappointed if there were any glitches or anything like that. So,
were there any nights when that was going on where you were just, I'm ready to shut this down?
No, no. Luckily, no. It's never been like that. It's just been a challenge. So it's every day it was just bring on the traffic, and I'd find a way to handle it. So no, it's never a shut it down thing. It's always been my baby. I want to keep it going.
So that was your low point. What was your high point?
You know, it's actually probably last week. I actually had the honor to go down to Columbus at the Ohio State Capitol and testify before the House of Representatives and give testimony in support of a House bill that would help make fantasy sports declare them as a game of skill, and then also add reasonable regulations around it so that daily fantasy can continue and like things like MFL 10s and other paid contests could continue as well. So that was really cool. I got to go down there and I testified with Peter Schenke, the president of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association. And there was representatives from FanDuel and DraftKings there. So it was really, really great to see something that I've been working on, slaving over for 11 years and get a chance to help contribute back to the community, the industry, because I've been able to be a part of it, and it was finally great to be able to give back to it.
Yeah, that is absolutely awesome. So if Daily Fantasy Sports, were they arguing that it was more a game of chance and it was gambling rather than a game of skill?
So luckily in Ohio, no. That in Ohio, is that things look pretty good for, at least as of now, for clearing the way to make reasonable, solid pro fantasy regulation. What happened was a couple years ago when FanDuel and DraftKings sort of blasted the airwaves with all their commercials and infomercials and billboards and everything, they really drew a lot of sort of unneeded negative attention toward the industry. And there were a few states, such as New York, where they started to threaten the FanDuel and DraftKings with – actually, I think they did sue them or fine them. But, yeah, so that started a kind of like a slow domino effect of all the states needed to – they just felt like they needed to clarify the legality and the regulations around fantasy sports. And so the industry has been going state by state to help make sure that the fantasy sports as we know it can continue.
Fantasy football calculators' ADP numbers are being used in some pretty reputable high-traffic sites and even in newspapers. You've attributed the site's success to the user base. Why is the user base the reason for the success?
Well, it's due to the fact that there are people who take fantasy football seriously. And even though mock drafts are not the real thing, it's an investment in time to practice for the real thing. And there's millions of people out there that really take mock drafts seriously. And there are, a lot of platforms out there to do mock drafts, but maybe because I was early or who knows why, but the hardcore of the most hardcore guys tend to use my sites. And that means that you get a lot of signal and not much noise when you are doing drafts and looking at ADP data. And I've been active at preventing people from screwing up drafts. I take the quality of drafts very seriously, and because that's what people come for. They don't want to wait 5 minutes for a draft to start and then see a kicker go in the first round.
Yeah, I've been in a couple where you've got just some random just idiot dude who's scrolling all the way to the bottom to the list of players and drafting players no one's heard of just to ruin the draft. So, and there's a report button on there, so you personally handle all those reports.
So in the early days, I personally handled them. Now it's actually automated, and there's an algorithm to make sure that those people are banned pretty aggressively. I don't want to go into the details because you can go ban everyone and make it super easy to kick people out. It's pretty smart about how it goes about doing that. But no, I'm very aggressive because the quality of the mock drafts is very important.
I think my favorite part about it, other than the fact that it is based on ADPs, is that you can see the entire draft board. You can't do that on ESPN. You can't see that on Yahoo. I'm not sure if you can see that on MFL. I haven't done any mocks on MFL. But the fact that you can see the entire draft board, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that actually has been part of the sites from day one. And that was intentional, because there were, of all the mock drafts or real drafts engines and draft rooms out there, I really wanted to make sure that the visibility is, it's a critical feature for a draft, because you have to know who have you drafted, who has everyone else drafted, and it's a competitive advantage when you can see that you're sitting at the 11 spots and you're going through the turn and the guy at the 12th spot has already taken his quarterback. You can see that's right in quarterback. So you know that you can wait on taking a quarterback until the next round because he's already had quarterback, and it's probably pretty unlikely that he'll take a second one at a certain point in the draft. So yeah, the visualization is, in my opinion, pretty critical. And I've always had an interest in data visualization. So I'm a big fan of Edward Tufte. And going back to the days when I was an intern at NASA and doing scientific research, I've always really appreciated the value of good visualizations, and I wanted to bring that to fantasy football.
Now, Fantasy Football Calculator, it has turned into much more than just the place to mock draft. You've installed an entire collection of tools for season-long fantasy dominance. So a few of these, you've got a Track Your Draft. What sort of platforms does that use, or does it work with?
Sure. So the Track Your Draft is actually it's a very simple tool to track your picks as your draft goes along during draft day. I've personally used the draft tracker in my drafts for at least 10 years, as long as I can remember. I've had it. So I've always found it's very, very critical for tracking my real drafts just the way I do mock drafts. And so the way that works is it doesn't connect directly to the draft platforms. Sometimes that connection can always be buggy because it depends on ESPN or Yahoo and their APIs. So it's actually very streamlined and simple. So you, as someone's picked in your draft, you just click a button, mark the players drafted in the draft tracker, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, that's pretty great. You have a trade analyzer. Does that track your teams as well?
Yeah, so yeah, the trade analyzer, it's kind of part of the whole ranking system, and all the rankings are for your teams for every week of the season, and it's kind of just a general purpose to use for whether you're making a waiver wire add drop or looking at a trade. It's a kind of one unified place to look at all that based on the projected rankings for those players.
Waiver wire targeter, is that just from you have people write articles during the week, or is that a tool that's within there as well?
So that's built into the tools and what we have now. But one thing that we're going to add this coming season is a lot more content around weekly ads drops and waiver wire priority features as well. All of those together comprise one main tool for unified rankings, and just it's really being able to answer the question, hey, it's week six. I've got my team. I want to put the best guys out there. What do I need to do? Who do I need to start? Who do I need to sit? Who's on the waiver wire? Should I make a trade? So it's really one unified way of looking at your team and making all of those decisions at once.
So it's an all-in-one, help you win your week. You don't have to go anywhere else. You can do everything inside a Fantasy Football Calculator.
Exactly.
Was that one of your goals when you started, was to have something like this? Or has that just sort of progressed and you've added these features as you've gone along?
So going way back, since we're talking about some of the things I did at the beginning, that was actually the first feature I built in 2005. So just kind of that's where my head has always been, in that realm, to have tools for the entire season for fantasy football. And before I had fantasyfootballcalculator.com, I actually built a site that was called fantasyfootballbythenumbers.com that was strictly this tool like you just talked about for making projections. And eventually I realized that Fantasy Football by the Numbers was a little bit too long, so Fantasy Football Calculator isn't all that much shorter, but it's a little bit more succinct. So yeah, the original origins was all around that, and so that's how I got the name Fantasy Football Calculator, because it was all built around crunching numbers for lineup decisions. And it wasn't until later that I added mock drafts, and those kind of blew up, and that's how it came to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. And something else that's awesome is the price of all this. Only $19.99 per year. That is a great deal when you compare that with all the other fantasy football premium content that's out there. $20 per year is pretty great.
Thanks. Yeah, I try to keep it, you know, reasonable so that, you know, we can reach as many people as possible. And it's, you know, a matter of, you know, some, you're going to spend, I did a survey for my premium members, and they spend on average 15 hours a week, you know, on their fantasy teams. So this is a very serious hobby that people spend, you know, a lot of their true valuable time on. And, you know, having a tool that is, you know, pennies per day when you look at it is just something to make sure that you are getting the most out of this hobby that we all love.
Yeah, and there's plenty of other things out there that it's like, oh, only $99.99 for the year. And I was like, I am not spending that kind of money for fantasy football. Even if I've, you know, I've got $1,000 leagues, that is a lot of money to invest.
Yeah, definitely. You want to make sure it's a little bit harder to justify those bigger price points. So that's why, yeah, I've kind of landed where I am.
Yeah, absolutely. And the very last question, can you give us any insight on any new features, maybe like a sneak peek that you'll be implementing? You don't have to give us all the details if you want to keep it a secret, but any new features that might be coming to the site?
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to tip my hand too much, but the one thing that people are really clamoring for and always have been is a rating post-draft for your mock drafts. So what we've had an integration with Football Guys in the past, and I want to bring back something very awesome to help people get like a real-time instant draft rating that we haven't had for a couple of years.
So sort of like what Fantasy Draft Wizard does, like, oh, you got a B-plus on this draft.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a fan of the letter rating, so I don't want to go into too many details because...
So you're a calculator, you like numbers.
Exactly, like numbers, and it's always nuanced. Like, you know, I can, especially, you know, Yahoo has letter grades for their drafts, and I think sometimes I can do 100 drafts on my site, and then I'll get a D rating on Yahoo, but then I'll go on to win the league anyway. So it's the goal will be not to simplify it because not to oversimplify it, but to give like the right amount of insights into how well you did in your draft.
Yeah, and one of the things that is kind of irritating about Draft Wizard, I mean, if you're looking for a quick draft, I mean, it's pretty good for that. But if you just select their most recommended player each time, they're going to give you an A+.
Exactly, and that's kind of the shortcoming. So yeah. I hope to address that with the mock draft rating tool that I'm going to build.
Yeah, that's great. I got to say, I appreciate having someone on the show who's so focused on the numbers because I'm actually a math professor at Ball State University.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's go Willie Snead. That's where he went to school. Yeah, so it's pretty great to talk to someone else who likes breaking down all the numbers as much as I do. All right, one last question I got for you for this interview right here. Who is your sleeper for this year? And it can be a rookie if you want it to be or a veteran player, but who do you think is going to be your sleeper this season?
So I think my sleeper this season, and it's a bit of a homer pick because I live in Cleveland and I'm a big Browns fan. I've been a Browns fan for life. So, but I can't pass up the value of Corey Coleman in the 9th round. He's just guaranteed to outperform that position, and his ceiling as a second year wide receiver, an offense where we may not light the world on fire, but he's going to be the number one target there for sure. And it's just a matter of exactly how well Cody Kessler or DeShone Kizer progresses. But I'm actually somewhat cautiously optimistic on Kessler doing a serviceable job this year. And I think that definitely equates to better numbers than where Corey Coleman is going right now.
Yeah, Coleman had a few monster games at the beginning of last season before he got injured.
Yeah, he did. If he can stay healthy, he has the talent. He's a top 15 NFL draft pick. He has tons of speed. He's an amazing route runner. So, unless right now, going in the 9th round, I'm taking him in every draft I do.
Yeah, it's good to hear a different perspective on that because I was actually looking at the ADP draft board, which for those of you are listening who haven't been to fantasyfootballcalculator.com yet, you can see not only the ADPs, but you can see it laid out in a draft board format as well. And I was looking through it, and Corey Coleman in the 9th round, I'm looking at a 12-team PPR, Coleman in the 9th round, I saw that and I was like, that seems early for me. So it's kind of good to get that perspective on the other side.
Yeah. No, he's under the radar. Players in Cleveland don't always get a lot of attention, although I think Crowell has been rising up draft boards. But, you know, it's still an NFL offense with NFL players. And, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to set any records, but adding some depth on defense with Myles Garrett, and, you know, hopefully the defense can get off the field faster and give the offense more opportunities. There's definitely opportunity there for him to outperform his position.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking up Isaiah Crowell like crazy. I mean, Brown's got a top five offensive line now.
Yeah, no, definitely. He has a lot of potential as well.
All right. Well, guys, this has been a fun interview. We're going to go ahead and jump into our mock draft. It's going to be a 12-team PPR mock draft, and Kevin has been gracious enough to join us for it. All right, guys, we are starting the 12-team PPR mock draft right now, and we got 11 people in here, so only one computer, which is pretty great. We got I Love DK on the clock with the first pick, and he's going to go one or two players most likely. He takes David Johnson, no surprise. Steve, I'm assuming, is taking Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Yep. The fantasy darling, is that you, Mike?
Me.
All right.
I had to pick Ezekiel Elliott there because it's Ezekiel Elliott.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. I believe these first four picks right here, we've got David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott. Number four, Antonio Brown. Those are really the top four. Mike Evans goes number five.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting. He goes before Odell Beckham, who the computer took at number six. That seems early to me for Mike Evans. I mean, two picks early.
Right, but I mean, if you're going to get him, you got to get him there if you want him bad enough, right?
If you really want him, you've got to. Seven spot is just the number seven is his name. Takes Julio Jones. V takes AJ Green, who I was really hoping was going to drop to me. KG1 takes LeSean McCoy, who I also hoped would drop to me. I think I'm going to go Devonta Freeman here. You know, I had 10 fantasy football teams last year. I didn't have Freeman in one of them.
I had Freeman on my championship team. He's a beast. If you can get him, he's fun to play.
Yeah,
but when you
Coleman
score touchdown after touchdown, it kind of sucks.
I thought the season before was a fluke, and it turns out it wasn't. So I was like, well, it's a PPR. He's there. I like him a little better than Melvin. Anyway, so Melvin Gordon goes with the 11th pick in the first, and Kevin takes Jordy Nelson with the last pick in the first round, Michael Thomas with the first pick in the second, then DeMarco Murray goes, and I think I'm going to go with T.Y. Hilton. That's slightly a homer pick, maybe.
It's definitely a homer pick. You pick him in every draft we've done.
It goes back to that theory, though. If you want him bad enough, he's not going to fall to you in the third.
I mean, he had the most receiving yards in the NFL last year.
He did?
He's a beast, yeah.
I did not know that. I thought a couple players actually had him beat.
Nope, he had the number one. If Antonio Brown hadn't sat out the last game, Brown would have had it.
I gotcha.
But T.Y. did end up getting it. So after mine, with the fourth pick in the second round, goes Jordan Howard, then Jay Ajayi, Dez Bryant, Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins. Now back to Colts. Chose Antonio Brown in the first round. You know, I got to say, I love mocking on this, but one of the most frustrating things is when the number one pick doesn't already have his pick locked in and times out.
Yeah, you should be prepared.
Right. Yeah, you rarely get in there like the second it starts, so you have a few seconds to decide on that pick. Just kind of crazy. All right, so Colts takes Aaron Rodgers in the second round. Mike takes Allen Robinson. Steve takes Amari Cooper. And our CEO, Adam, the last pick in the second, he took David Johnson in the first. Kevin, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers in the second?
It's too high. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I think he could fall. I think that guy's going to fall a little bit later. I think you could have waited on him, especially since you're on your bounce background, you know.
He could have taken Amari Cooper and gotten Rodgers in the third.
That's it. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yep.
So Adam takes Demaryius Thomas with the last pick in the second round. That's the highest I think I've seen him go.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Is that a homer pick? We know Adam's a Broncos fan.
Gotta be.
No, I think
he just... still got...
Yeah, maybe
Doug Baldwin, Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey, all still in there. I'd take all those guys over Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I don't know why why he went so early. Well, Colt says that's a good value.
Wow, that is not good value. I mean, I like Demaryius Thomas maybe around the fourth round, but second round is early. Anyways, he took Tyreek Hill to begin the third. I think he's making some risky picks here.
Right. I'd love it because Brandon Cooks just fell to me in the third.
Yeah, Steve takes Doug Baldwin. Mike takes Brandon Cooks. I will not have Cooks on any of my teams next year.
I don't like it, but I like him as a Patriot. I like the potential there, and he was kind of the best I had to look at right there.
See, the fact that he's a Patriot is why he won't be on any of my teams next year. You can't play fantasy football with the heart, but that's my one rule that I break is I won't draft any Patriots.
That's a good rule.
All right, so Colts takes Lamar Miller. TT takes Rob Gronkowski. The computer takes Keenan Allen. The seventh pick by number seven on the clock right now. He has Julio and Dez. Maybe time to think about a running back?
Hell no. It's time to think about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Yep. Watch him do it.
Get him Matt Ryan so he can combo it off with Julio Jones.
There you go. Told you. Called it.
And he does take Tom Brady.
That's gangster.
I'm the new prophet. Kevin, I had a question for you while we wait on some picks here, real quick. When I use your tools to kind of help my team out throughout the season, I mean, without giving away the secret recipe, can you give me an idea on like where the information comes from with the start sits and the trade analysis and stuff like that? Is it statistics from somewhere, or is it your own ideas?
Sure. Well, it actually stems kind of from the philosophy from like the average draft position data, where I try to just give you the information and let you make your own decisions. So, I'm on the clock.
Yeah,
so
it's your pick.
Let me
Yeah.
Make my pick here. I need a running back, and I will maybe, since I need a running back, I might reach a bit, but I'm going to go for Crowell here in the end of the third round.
Damn it. Browns fan. I was hoping he was going to fall back to me.
Yeah. When you draft at the turn here, you don't have the luxury to wait 24 picks for your guy to come back to you.
Right. So anyways, KG1 takes Terrell Pryor with the ninth pick in the third. I took Alshon Jeffrey. Travis Kelce goes with the 11th pick. Kevin took Isaiah Crowell with the last pick in the third. And now with the first pick in the fourth on the clock, takes Devontae Adams. Not bad. He'll score you a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I hope so.
They'll drop a lot of passes too.
I just finish your previous question. It's really the goal is not to have like a super secret algorithm that you don't know exactly what goes into it. So I tell you, there's basic things that are very, very well known to affect fantasy performance, and that's whether the player is playing home or away, and how difficult the defense is. So we take those things into consideration, so you don't have to do the mental math. For, well, this defense is really tough, so I'll give them discounts. We do that kind of thing, and then let you make a decision on your own.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So anyways, we got Devontae Adams, Sammy Watkins. I took Leonard Fournette with a third pick in the fourth. Brandon Marshall, Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Reed, Spencer Ware taken by the computer. We're starting to see the rookies come off.
Mm-hmm. It's about where you would expect them, I think, starting in the fourth round, right?
Yeah, when we had Jake Seeley on the show, he said he thinks Fournette should be around the 9th or 10th overall pick.
Yeah, he's very high on him. He's actually, I looked at his rankings today, too. He's pretty high on Mixon and Perkins as well. I mean, compared to us, so.
I think Mixon's going to have a hell of a year this year. I think that guy has a lot to prove, and I think he's going to come out and hopefully do that. Hopefully prove it.
I'm excited for them to announce that he's the starter. Because it's hard to get excited about Mixon in a redraft league until you know that he's going to have the job. Because Marvin Lewis, I mean, he doesn't play a whole lot of rookies. Jeremy Hill is still there. Giovanni Bernard is still there. It's kind of iffy. I'll be a lot more excited when we hear that he's the starter. So anyways, let's catch up here. TT took Marshawn Lynch, then Carlos Hyde. Mike took CJ Anderson. That's a total homer pick. Steve took Joe Mixon.
I can't confirm nor deny if that's a homer pick or not.
You want to make a bet right now?
What's that?
Jamal Charles will finish with more fantasy points than CJ Anderson.
I can't make that bet because I'm on board with that. I really am.
Like, why didn't you take Charles?
I just couldn't take him right there. I was like, I just can't do it. Like, he's on my list, but I just couldn't do it. I'm going to handcuff CJ Anderson late with him. Nobody's going to get him. I mean, now you might because I said that, but.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking him with my next pick. So Adam takes Mark Ingram to end the fourth round. I think that's a little risky. I mean, AP's got the starting job, right?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard to keep him away from that. As much as Sean Payton hates Mark Ingram, I don't think we see much of him this year.
I mean, they didn't pay Adrian Peterson to come in and be a backup.
Right.
What the is Adam doing? Stephon Diggs in the fifth. I'd like to see, like, this is the kind of person who messes up a draft. but he's legitimately making these picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we work on how to report people right now?
No. Because we play with this guy. We play fantasy with this guy. So let him do what he wants to do. I like it.
Yeah. He is not winning this league.
He's like, I've got David Johnson. That's good enough.
So Steve takes Michael Crabtree. Mike takes Doug Martin. My next pick goes off Golden Tate. I was going to take him. Julian Edelman, Drew Brees, Ty Montgomery, Larry Fitzgerald.
Here's where we start.
Running backs are thin.
Yeah, here's where we start getting into the guys that you can have actual conversations about. And people get feelings involved. You know, your Eddie Lacy's, who just, we didn't talk about a lot of news today, but he did just make a little extra money for staying underweight. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah, $55,000 for being 2 pounds under his weight.
I mean, that's fantastic. It shows
that more than I make in a year.
Shows that shit, no kidding. Shows that he's serious, though. So.
KG1 takes Martavis Bryant, and I would really love to have Andrew Luck on my team this year, but. Just fifth round is a little rich. I think I'm going to take AP. I have no problem having AP as my RB3.
There you go. That's not a bad pick.
Someone just posted, fantasy darling, good luck. Yeah, when we break this down after the draft, you're going to have to defend some of these picks. Too bad Adam isn't here because we'd rip him apart.
You guys are giving me that F grade. I look forward to that F grade just like I do on Yahoo.
So as I took AP, at the 11th pick goes Kelvin Benjamin. Kevin taking Amir Abdullah. You know, if he stays healthy, he's primed for a big year. Detroit upgraded that O-line.
Yeah, he could break out this year.
All right, and then Bilal Powell, great PPR option, who could have the starting job over Forte. Andrew Luck goes right before where I was going to take him. Man, this is a... players I like are getting taken. Let's see here.
And really, with Adam's team out there, they're saying good luck to me.
Yeah, it's that's weird. I'm gonna go with Jameson Crowder. He's the number one option.
That's a good pick. I like him this year. I think you got good value right there too in the sixth.
What the hell is it gonna? Kevin, I got another question for you. Since you just made your picks, what is your what's your favorite platform to play fantasy on?
I'd say, well, I'm big into Dynasty as well, so Dynasty I play on my fantasy league. Mm-hmm. But for redrafts, I typically find myself on Yahoo.
Are you commish of any leagues, or are you just a straight-up player?
Just a straight-up player. I do have one league that I've been in for about 15 years, I think, from some friends from college. So I have one long-running league that's been on Yahoo forever.
Those are the best. Is it a Dynasty league, so you have the team for 15 years now, or what?
No, that one's actually redrafts.
Oh, okay.
It's just some friends, and it's one of the ways we can stay together. Like, the draft is always really fun because we're talking to people we haven't seen in about a year. So it's a redraft, but it's a really fun, long-running league.
That sounds awesome. We'd have to send you an invite to our Pro-Am league. We have a league that we run every year with some listeners and then some other of the fantasy hosts and experts and stuff like that. Be cool to have you in that.
Yeah, last year we had the fantasy footballers were in it, Clock Daughters, the Fantasy Life podcast. I'm forgetting a couple others, which, and for those other shows, I'm sorry that I'm forgetting you, but it was really fun.
Yeah, I loved you. That sounds like fun.
All right, let's catch up here a little bit. After I took Jameson Crowder with the third pick in the sixth, it goes Eddie Lacy, Greg Olsen, Tevin Coleman, Tyler Eifert, Jameis Winston, Jimmy Graham, Mike takes Corey Davis in the with the third to last pick. Dante Moncrief by Steve. Adam takes Rob Kelly to end the sixth, and Ted Ginn Jr. to begin the seventh. Adam is definitely not winning this league.
Ted Ginn? He loves Ted Ginn.
He does love Ted. I don't know why. He legitimately loves Ted Ginn.
You know what, though? God bless him. God bless him. We don't know.
Steve takes Kareem Hunt. Mike takes Corey Coleman, who Kevin really enjoyed.
We don't know what Adam's up to right now. I mean, he could have his children in one arm and a beer in the other, and he keeps, you know, his kids keep hitting the buttons. Maybe
that's true. That's true.
Who knows?
All right, Colts takes Cam Newton, which is his second quarterback in the first seven rounds.
Interesting strategy.
That's crazy. Then Theo Riddick, Latavius Murray, Frank Gore, Emmanuel Sanders, Delanie Walker with the ninth pick in the seventh, and I'm going to take Willie Snead.
Wow.
With the 10th pick in the 7th.
That's earlier than you've picked him before, isn't it?
I mean, his ADP has been rising.
Yeah, it has, actually.
As ever since Brandon Cooks got traded, his ADP has just skyrocketed.
Yep.
But you know what? Michael Thomas is still the number one there. But Willie Snead, like, I've said this multiple times on the show, I watched every game that he played in college. He can catch everything, and Drew Brees obviously likes him. And Snead is a red zone threat as well. And he can throw 50-yard touchdown passes to Tim Hightower.
Do you have anything autographed by Willie Snead yet?
No, I do not. And he's not responding to any of my tweets.
Jerk. Kevin's loading Mike up on Wallace. running backs here in the last two rounds. Four rounds,
yeah,
rather.
Danny Woodhead to end the seventh, LeGarrette Blount to begin the eighth. How well do you think, like, where do you see Blount going? Is he going to be a Patriot, or is some other team going to give up a pick for him?
You know what? I don't really know, but I feel like he still has some gas left in the tank, and that's kind of the risk drafting this early. But I think by the time September rolls around, he's going to find his way into a position where he can get some touchdowns. And in the eighth round, might as well give a shot.
Yeah, I mean, people were drafting him, what, between the eighth and the tenth last season, and he scored 18 touchdowns.
Exactly. He's got talents.
Yep. Pierre Garçon goes with the second pick in the eighth round. I think that's pretty good value depending on the quarterback situation. I mean, Hoyer's not awful for fantasy, and Garçon had a great year last year. I took DeSean Jackson. Jordan Matthews goes next with the fourth pick in the eighth.
It's funny how much these mock drafts has changed since we did one like right after the Super Bowl. Once you throw these rookies in here and after the draft, like, it's a completely different situation. Stuff is totally different.
Yeah, and I wanted to have Kevin on the show, you know, like back in March. I was bringing up this idea. We should get the main guy at Fantasy Football Calculator. Like, I should contact him, get him on the show, do a mock draft show with him. That'd be awesome. But then I thought about, you know what? The NFL draft's about to happen. Let's wait for a few weeks after that to see some ADPs start to get solidified.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is so different. Guys that have to scroll down for, like, you know, a ton. I don't have to anymore. They're right at the top for me.
Goes Cameron Meredith, Randall Cobb, Eric Decker, Derrick Henry, Jeremy Maclin in the eighth, Dalvin Cook by Mike in the eighth round.
That's right.
Steve takes Jamal Charles. I was really hoping he was going to fall to me. Granted, that was like 12 picks later, but
yeah, I almost went Perkins, but I don't know.
All right, now I do not have a tight end, so maybe it's time to start thinking about that.
That's exactly what line of thinking I was on right now. Hopefully Kyle Rudolph falls two more spots.
Hopefully he falls to the 10th.
Oh, he ain't gonna.
Adam takes Adam Thielen in the 8th. I really like Adam Thielen, but I do not like how he has both Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah, that's a weird combination right there.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to play both guys, are you?
He might.
Yeah, well, with this roster.
Let's see if he drafts Bradford, too. Maybe he's doing a super stack. Who knows?
Then he took Quincy Enunwa to begin the ninth. Steve takes Matt Ryan. I'm seeing Matt Ryan fall pretty far, ninth round.
I'm okay with that.
That's insane. Compared, you know, look at what he did last season. That's just crazy. And then Mike took the guy I was going to take, Kyle Rudolph, in the ninth round. I think that's awesome. Paul Perkins, Matt Forte, Derek Carr, Thomas Rawls, Russell Wilson, KG1 on the clock. Now he goes Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm going to go Marcus Mariota. Yeah, Jake Seeley had Mariota his fifth quarterback for this year.
Wow.
You know what? I like Jake Seeley's balls. I mean,
his
boldness, I should say, before that gets taken out of context.
No, I like his balls.
I like his boldness, but he backs it up. Like, he doesn't just say stuff. Like, he says it, and he's got reasoning, which I like.
Right. So it goes Kenneth Dixon after me, Kevin takes Devontae Parker, and then Phillip Rivers to begin the 10th. Next goes John Brown. I'm going to take Zach Ertz, which I think is awesome for PPR.
Devontae Parker was just the subject of an article on Fantasy Football Calculator, Kevin.
That's true. Yeah, he has a lot of potential because he is like a, what was he, top 10 NFL, 12th pick? He has a lot of draft capital, and he has a lot of talent. And, I think sometimes people are too quick to rush into judging wide receivers. It's still a challenging position to play. So it's only his third year. Third year used to be the breakout year. And if you're patient, he might actually pay off this year.
Would you? I mean, you grabbed him in the ninth. Do you like Corner Coleman more than him or less than him? Or are they both like, how do you feel about getting to Parker in the ninth, I should say? That's my question.
I think, let's see, Parker's going in the ninth. And yeah, I guess Coleman, he'd win in the seventh here. But typically, if you made me choose between the two, that's tough. I might choose Coleman because I also believe in his talents. So I don't know. Parker could do really well too. So it's pretty close, but I would have to go with Coleman if I had to choose.
All right, so let's catch up here. After I took Ertz, KG1 takes Samaje Perine. Then Marvin Jones, Dak Prescott, Jeremy Hill, TT with the first defense off the board in the 10th round takes the Denver defense. Colts takes Rishard Matthews. Mike on the clock.
This is a tough one. This is where you kind of start doing your gambling, right? Like, okay, I really think this guy might have a breakout year. He's been involved quite a bit.
You can start taking flyers at this point.
Yep. So I'm taking Perriman. Nice.
That's a pretty big flyer.
Mm. Yeah, I just feeling about it, and I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling he's going to be very involved in that offense. I feel like at the end of last year, he started getting a little bit more target share, and he can stay healthy.
Kevin, have you heard of like any stories, maybe people tweeting at you about how they found really good leagues through just random people in Fantasy Football Calculator?
Yeah, I can't think of any specifics off the top of my head, but people do love the chat room. The chat room is one of the hidden features that isn't obvious, but once you spend some time in there, you're learning about new leagues, getting inside info from fans that went to training camp practice and things like that. So yeah, the community there through that tiny little chat box is actually pretty valuable.
It's going crazy right now. All right, so after Perriman, Steve takes Zay Jones. Adam takes Julius Thomas to end the 10th. Darren Sproles to begin the 11th. He loves Darren Sproles. I mean, I was in that pro, or he was one of my sort of teammates in the program last year, and he wanted to play Sproles every single week.
Yeah, he did.
Awesome. Yeah, Steve, you were on the team too, right?
Yeah, I had a little input here and there.
It was me, you, Adam, and Lucas, I believe.
Right, yeah, we did all right. We had a great start.
We started, 7-1 and then lost every game.
We did not finish well at all. I don't know what was the turning point.
We lost AJ Green.
Oh, right. That killed us. Yep. That killed us.
We lost AJ Green and Thomas Rawls, and we had Cam Newton.
Yeah, it was tough. And Charles. We had Jamal Charles, too.
It wasn't great.
It's a rough
year. Speaking of a Jamal, Steve takes Jamal Williams. Mike takes Kirk Cousins as his quarterback. Colts takes Mike Gillisley. Then Martellus Bennett. Seattle defense. Kansas City defense. Duke Johnson. The Houston defense. And I'm going to take my second. I'm going to take another tight end. And it's someone who is not even available or even viewable on the players right now because he's so far down. Jack Doyle.
Why? Defend that.
Because he's awesome. Look at what he did last season.
All right. Oh, and they don't have anybody else, do they?
I mean, they've got Eric Swope, who is serviceable, but they're not going to be running two tight end sets very often with Doyle and Swope. Okay. Jack Doyle, I mean, he has great hands. Andrew Luck trusts him. He's not like stone hands Dwayne Allen, who just, he can catch three touchdowns in the first 4 minutes of a game, or he can drop super easy passes on fourth down that would have sealed the deal. Right. He was just frustrating. All right, so then it goes O.J. Howard. Kevin takes John Ross to end the 11th, Alvin Kamara to begin the 12th, then Andy Dalton comes off the board. Time to start thinking about Flyers, and I'm going to go Joe Williams because the 49ers, I do not think they like Carlos Hyde, so Williams could take over.
Kevin, I got a question for you. When I scroll down, guys like that aren't even in the league anymore still in the choices here. How can I get them out of there?
Oh, that is a good point. So you can actually just send a message in that feedback box, and we'll get them out of there.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yep.
Oh, that is a cool feature. If you scroll all the way down, yeah.
Yeah, like, I personally read that feedback every day.
Like this Zach Zenner guy. I don't know who he is. Never heard of him in my life. Don't even know if he plays football or basketball. There's no, I'm just kidding, guys. Just kidding, Hussein.
Yeah, so after I took Joe Williams, and he goes Taylor Gabriel, Giovanni Bernard, Mike Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Sterling Shepard, New England defense, and Mike times out and takes the second quarterback, Eli Manning. Nope.
I did not take Eli Manning. That did not happen.
So Steve takes Hunter Henry. That's a great pick in the 12th. I almost took him over Doyle. Adam takes Carson Palmer and Matthew Stafford at the turn.
He was jealous of my Eli Manning pick.
I mean, but Stafford in the 13th round isn't that bad, really. That's pretty nice.
That's really
not bad at all.
Steve takes James Conner to handcuff Le'Veon Bell. That's pretty great.
Got to.
Mike does get David Njoku in this round. Terrence West, Ryan Matthews, Kevin White, Deion Lewis, Marlon Mack. Back to KG1 with the 9th pick in the 13th. Now, Kevin, what made you decide to go 15 rounds?
You know, I think it was that one league I said I've been doing for 15 years. That happened to be 15 rounds, and so I made it for that league. And I think it's worked out well because it's about as long as most people want to do a mock draft. But yeah, that actually was the format of the league I was in at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's... Go with what you know. You know, Jake Seeley also believes, I keep going back to him because it's just the most recent the guest that we had. He thinks Dante Foreman's going to take over for Lamar Miller. I am not quite so sure. I'm going to take the Arizona defense. Oh, KG1 took Tyrod Taylor. I took the Arizona D 12 with the 11th pick in the 13th. New York Giants defense. Oh. Kevin takes Evan Engram.
Are we doing defense and kickers mandatory here?
I mean, I always draft a defense and a kicker because all the leagues I'm in require defense and kicker.
All right.
Right.
All right. Fine.
Not like one of those weird leagues where you can just randomly not do that. So Evan Engram and the Atlanta D on the turn. Justin Tucker goes with the second pick in the 14th. I'm going to go Matt Bryant. I don't like taking a kicker in the 14th, but... At the 10th pick in the last round, all the best kickers are going to be gone.
To be fair, I don't like taking a kicker in the 15th either.
All right, so C.J. Fedorowicz goes off.
C.J. Fedorowicz got drafted. Excellent. Good for him.
And then we see a run of kickers. Steven Goskowski, Matt Prater, Adam Vinatieri, Cairo Santos, Dan Bailey. Mike, by your last comment, I'm not taking a kicker in the 15th. Minnesota defense.
Nice.
Baltimore defense by Steve. I really like Baltimore's D this year.
Top three?
Top five.
Top five. All right.
I don't know. I don't want to say top five because I didn't draft him in the top five.
Right.
No, I think they'll be solid. Oakland defense, then Mason Crosby to begin the last round. Steven Hauschka. I forgot he was on Buffalo.
I did too. I like his name, though.
Kevin, can I ask you, how long does it take... Is it a super long process to update all the teams after the NFL draft?
It usually takes like a day or two to make it all up to date.
Let's see. So Mike takes Graham Gano, Colts with the 4th pick in the 15th round. I've already got my guy queued up, so.
Well, now we're down to kickers and defenses. Kevin, how do you like your team so far in this draft?
I purposely picked the 12th spot because I wanted to challenge myself, and I haven't drafted from there much. I'm mediocre on it, so I started with Nelson and Thomas. I think at that point, the scales tipped in favor of going with a stud wide receiver at the beginning, and then after that, if I ever end up going wide receiver, I just like to throw the dice on a lot of running backs later in the draft. So I think I did that pretty well. I don't know if I am coming away with the best team in the draft this time.
All right, so Colts takes Kenny Britt, Carson Wentz, Cole Beasley, Mohamed Sanu, Jacksonville's defense. The first time I've seen them get drafted, I think.
Yeah.
Brandon McManus. I took Tyrell Williams.
That was a nice pick.
Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked having Tyrell last year. I played him every week.
Yep.
I took him in the first waiver wire great debate. It was me and Hoos. I took him, and he took the guy who got drafted right after, Will Fuller, with the 11th pick and the 15th. Mm. I believe I won that great debate.
You did, yeah.
And Kevin with the last pick in the 15th.
Good draft. I got to figure out a way to keep track of these, though. I do a bunch.
Sebastian Janikowski. If you, when you sign up for it, you can log in and it keeps track of every single mock draft that you've done.
Oh, really? Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, so I'll, okay, I'm going to join then before, in the next couple weeks here, and then I'll just, it'll save, and then will it give me, like, what kind of information do I get? Will I be able to go back and look at every draft I've done?
You can look back at every single draft, and there's, like, a visualization of, like, the top five picks of every draft, and you can quickly, you actually filter by the format, the draft position, and we give a quick number to give like a average projected points per week, so you can really quickly see which strategies did well for you, which ones maybe not so much.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Well, I'm sold now. For $20 for the season, that's a great tool right there. I can use that for like the next 2-3 months.
Or for the whole season.
I'm going to save... I will. I mean, I'd use the hell out of that. I just did a screen cap, so I'll save this draft board.
All right. So looking at this, once again, we thank you for doing this with us. What stands out to you the most? What draft pick, if looking at this, which one stands out the most? Maybe the most shocking pick that you saw. And we can keep Adam's team out of this because every pick was the most shocking.
Well, that was, yeah, the Demaryius Thomas is pretty out there. I guess maybe I have to check to see if his ADP is there, but still Joe Mixon in the fourth round, early, he has tons of talents, but again, it's still running backs get their value based on carries, so it's a pretty expensive place to pick Joe Mixon until we know exactly how many carries he will get. But I agree, the talent's there. It's just that's a high spot to pick him.
Yeah, certainly is. Mike, what about you?
I'm looking at this, and I'm actually really kind of liking my position. I think I've got a good mix of good talent. Like, I think CJ Anderson, Doug Martin might not be the best. I'm really all on board with Doug Martin and following him with Eazy-E. That's going to work out probably pretty good. And then Delvin Cook, I think he's going to be the number one running back in Minnesota. So granted, that's not the best place to be a number one running back, but I think, I don't know, I really like this mix. The ones that I think, the Demaryius Thomas to Tyreek Hill second, third, that's, I'm like, what are you thinking on that one? But a lot of times you say that, and a lot of times you're like, man, why didn't I draft that guy before he got him, you know?
The one pick that sticks out to me is actually on your team, Kevin. And this is a guy I picked to be my sleeper for this year, even though it's really hard to predict this position at this age. But Evan Ingram as your number one tight end.
Yeah, so it's definitely a risk to have a rookie as your tight end. I think I was hearing like the average stats for rookie tight ends are very, very poor. But just yesterday, I was looking up the height and weights of Evan Ingram, and he's actually smaller than Brandon Marshall. So, like, he's, even though I think there's a coach came out and said that Ingram might, you know, still have to learn how to be a blocker, he's still a wide receiver. So it might be a sneaky way to get semi-wide receiver production in the tight end spot.
Yeah, I really like Ingram this year. I think Eli Manning could have one of his best seasons. He's got a ton of weapons to throw to this year.
That's right. That's why I got him.
Yeah, that pick that was on purpose, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, Kevin, who would you say has the best team?
That is a good question. I like...
You can say my team. It's all right.
I don't know. The team that started with Julio and Dez Bryant is actually, even though they took Tom Brady early.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's risky, but I love two stud wide receivers in a PPR league, and it's tough to beat. So it would have to be Jordan Reed would have to have pretty perfect health and blow up this year. Like, he could, So it's maybe risky to go quarterback tight end that early, but when you pair it with Julio and Dez, it has the potential to be the best.
Yeah, at the same time, the running backs, so Ty Montgomery, Tevin Coleman, and Frank Gore.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to just kind of gamble on a lot of running backs. And it's PPR, so Ty Montgomery still actually has pretty, you know, decent value. He's not going to get 20 carries a game, but he could get 6 catches for 50 yards. And, yeah, it depends. It's high risk, high reward. And even, you know, Deion Lewis later in the drafts could pay off. So, yeah, I guess it's always tough to judge these, but I like starting PPR with 2 stud wide receivers.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect way to go about that. And before the NFL draft, before the rookies were in there, it was all if you go running or if you go wide receiver in the first round, you have to take a running back in the second round because the position is so thin. But we had Fournette, we had McCaffrey, we had Joe Mixon, we have Jamal Williams and Joe Williams and Samaje Perine and Alvin Kamara and Marlon Mack all come in and just make that depth a little bit better. Oh, Dalvin Cook just added to that depth. Steve, who do you think has the best team?
You know, I was looking at Team 7 as well with the Julio, Dez, Brady, Reed team. That's such a nice core. And then after that, it's a couple of question marks. Yeah, I think up and through about round 8, he was pretty solid. And then I think team number 8, AJ Green, Ajayi, Landry, McCaffrey, Fitz, Olsen, it's pretty solid as well. And he's got good depth across the board. What I find interesting is the first 3 teams to pick. Obviously, we all went running back, Johnson, Bell, Elliott. And then if you look down, like if you look at those 3 columns at the same time down, our pick pattern is very, very similar. 2 wide receivers in a row, then we all went and get our second running back. Then the next 2 rounds, it was wide receiver running back. Actually, the next 4 rounds, it was wide receiver running back. And the first quarterback for those 3 teams was in round 9. So you can kind of see if you're in those first 3 positions, pretty much any kind of league, I think, that looks to be the strategy. It looks like people are really banking on those top 3 running backs to be, you know, solid contributors, and they're not really looking at a second RB until 4th or 5th round.
I followed that pattern with at spot 10 too.
Yep. Murray seemed to drop a little bit late in the second round. Jordan Howard dropped into the second round too, which was surprising.
Yeah, his ADP's been going down.
Yeah, so there were a couple movers and shakers. Looks like a lot of the rookie running backs kind of fell into like round 4 and 5, 5 and 6 in that area. So it's kind of where you're looking at them. I guess the most surprising pick was probably Sammy Watkins, Davante Adams in that 4th round, the end of the 4th round. I don't know. That's a little early for Watkins for me, I think.
I don't know. I'd take Watkins in the 3rd, depending on how the draft fell. If I went running back, and he was the best wide receiver available, I think I'd take him.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was a dude's number one. I mean, are you cool with that being your number one wide receiver, though? Like, wouldn't you want somebody?
Yeah, I'll give him one more chance.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I would. Davante Adams, I mean, the 4th round, it seems early, but if you look at his production last year,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, that was Kevin, and he already had two pretty solid wide receiver picks.
Right.
So I guess Watkin was the one that I was like, I don't know if I would want him to be my number one.
He's banking on that Green Bay offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're going to put up points. I'm actually okay with the early Tom Brady pick because I think he will throw plenty of touchdowns this year. So I think he's going to be, you know, worth that 3rd, 4th round pick. No problem.
I don't think any Patriots should ever be drafted.
Oh my God. This
guy. A 0 Patriot draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I do it. There was only one time that I can remember having a Patriot on my team, and this was 2 seasons ago when Julian Edelman got hurt and he was coming back week 15. And I picked him up just so my opponent couldn't play him against me in a PPR.
Just the block move?
I didn't play him. Yeah, right. I put him on my bench.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the only time I remember ever picking up a Patriot.
That's awesome.
Was just to play defense.
Well, so, yeah.
All right, guys. Any other interesting things about the draft board?
I nothing's really sticking out to me. I mean, it looks like a good, well-rounded draft. I think we had a lot of players involved. You know, it wasn't computer. There wasn't a lot of wild picks out there, minus Adam. I mean, he had a couple, but those are justifiable picks as well. You know, I mean, if you don't feel like those people are going to fall to you again, you got to pick them up where you can get them. So I thought it was a great draft.
Yeah, it's hard to look at this and pick a winner.
You can't, right? but you can fall in love with your team. And I'd like to thank Kevin for choosing the color scheme that he did on Fantasy Football Calculator, because it's very easy on the eyes. The pastels are super easy to read everything, and there's draft boards out there and other draft software and mock drafts that are not this easy to see. So like we said before in the beginning of the show, being able to see the whole board is such a nice advantage to Fantasy Football Calculator.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's actually one of the people in the mock draft, it was KG1, who had stated in there that that was his favorite part of this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, guys, well, that's going to wrap up our mock draft show. Kevin, thank you so much for sticking with us even through our technical difficulty that we had earlier with my internet. Thanks for sticking with us through the interview and through the draft and breaking it down with us. We really appreciate you coming on the show today, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll do it again next week.
Next week.
Oh. Kevin, how can people find you?
We're at fantasyfootballcalculator.com and Twitter at FFCalculator.
All right, simple to remember. All right, guys, that's it for the show today. Thank you very much for listening. If you find SleeperWire useful and you enjoy our podcast and our advice and our weekly rankings during the season, we ask you to go visit our good friend Rob's GoFundMe page. It's gofundme.com/RobJR. He's been dealing with chronic Lyme disease for years and years and years, and you know, he's the whole reason why we do this podcast. Everything that we do, we're doing it for him. So if you could, it'd be awesome if you could just donate a couple bucks. Go to his GoFundMe, donate a couple bucks, help with his treatments, which are outrageously expensive. I know he would appreciate it, and we would appreciate it as well. And go on to iTunes and give us a nice review. We always love reading the reviews on iTunes as well. Mike, before we head out, where can the listeners find us?
Find us at sleeperwire.com. We have all our podcasts, and soon we'll be posting our mock draft results for the 2017 season. We also will be scheduling some live mock drafts with you, the listeners. You can also find us on the SleeperBot app, and you can find us on Twitter at the SleeperWire Show, and you can find us on Facebook on the SleeperWire Show.
All right, and you are on SleeperBot at Dr. Kane 21, right?
Correct.
And I'm on there at Professor Chris. You can also find me at Professor Chris on Twitter and now on Instagram. So it's not impressive yet, but we're going to get some stuff. I've never used Instagram before, so it's a learning process. Yeah, so, but you can go on there and see my beautiful face, you know, all that good stuff. And I'm on there at Professor Chris SW, because apparently there was already a Professor Chris. So, you know, whatever, screw that guy. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We will catch you next time. Have a good one.